All right, it's the Chris Raby Show. It's Thursday, February 11th, 2021. We're talking some baseball. It's been a busy couple of weeks for Jake Woodford, Cardinals pitcher from Tampa, Florida, who just watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers continue the incredible run of Tampa championships. He had his number retired at his high school, Plant High School, for making it to the big leagues. Made his big league debut 6 months ago against the White Sox in Chicago, one of the doubleheaders, part of the Cardinals' return to baseball, and was maybe popping up or paying attention to some trade rumors over the last couple of weeks. So Jake joined me to chat last night and reflect on the offseason. We had a draft, a movie-themed draft at the end of the conversation. We talked music, we talked trade rumors, we talked getting his number retired, Elon Musk came up, all that and more with Jake Woodford on the Chris Raby Show right now on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Good news, good news, good news, that's all they want to hear. No, they don't like you when I'm down. But when I'm flying, Woodford.
Hey, what's up?
How are things in Tampa? Was today the boat parade? The city of Tampa, the Tampa St. Pete's area, Jake Woodford, is getting very used to championship celebrations.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Today was the Bucks boat parade. They did a similar one for the Lightning. I didn't actually get to go, but the videos were pretty crazy. You got Brady throwing around the trophy to other boats and stuff. It was pretty wild.
The Lightning set the bar pretty high, especially our guy, Pat Maroon, set the bar pretty high. And hockey guys in general, when the Blues won a couple of years ago, it was outrageous. I know you weren't in St. Louis at that point, but they set the bar high for boat or water celebrations that the Bucks needed to pick up and try to match today.
Yeah, the videos were pretty crazy. I saw Gronk going crazy too. And I mean,
how awesome is that guy? Like I was so happy when he scored a couple of times. In like, he's just the easiest dude, the easiest athlete in the world to root for.
Yeah, he just enjoys it, and you can just tell he doesn't take himself too seriously or anything, and he plays hard, and yeah, I mean, you said it, he's just an easy guy to root for, and I mean, having him in Tampa now is pretty awesome.
I think it's pretty unreal to think about, like, Tom Brady, and from your perspective as an athlete, and knowing how hard it is to not just compete, but, you know, win regular season games, right, like in the big leagues, or you know, what it must be like in the NFL. I'm not sure anyone's really put into perspective what he's done with seven, like, Super Bowls. That's just an absurd mark that will never be touched. He's not even done. And I think it's, like, fair to say that he's one of the most important, in terms of, like, his team's success, he has to be one of the most important, like, athletes that, I don't know, at least of our, like, generation, last couple of generations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely in the GOAT status. I think he has been. You know, he's that next level of athlete with, you know, not just being able to win, but being able to be consistent about it. I mean, all those pictures came out, you know, when Tom Brady won his first one 15 years ago or whatever it was, and Patrick Mahomes was, like, in elementary school. It's crazy, like, how long he's actually been doing it. I think is something that kind of gets taken for granted too, to like that taxing of a game. You know, football is so hard on your body that.
Oh, and he never gets hurt.
He's always.
He had the ACL that one year, but he never gets hurt.
Yeah, he's just been so consistent over such a long period of time, and it's honestly remarkable to watch. So, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to root for that guy too. So, I mean, I'm glad they're in Tampa. And I hope they can make another run next year.
Dude, so I heard a story the other day, or maybe I saw it on Twitter, that, you know, the match to that was at Medalist over in Jupiter, like in May or June, whenever it was. It was Tiger and Phil and Peyton and Brady, right?
Yeah, I remember.
All right, so someone said that Brady that day was out in the parking lot of Medalist a couple of hours before they were going to tee off, and it was raining. Remember, the weather was like terrible, and he was doing wind sprints in like the Medalist parking lot in the pouring rain. And apparently Charles Barkley rolled up because he was doing some of the commentary and put his window down and was like, what in the hell are you doing? And Brady said, trying to win a Super Bowl. Like, he was getting his workout in the freaking Medalist parking lot before he played in that match.
I mean, the guy takes no days off. I mean, it's remarkable how dedicated he is to his craft. And I mean, kind of a dude that I feel like all athletes kind of look up to and admire with, you know, just how consistent he is with his work. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
So what's been up with you, man? What's been going on? How's the off season? And for an off season and a season that are, you know, different than anything anyone's experienced, you obviously being in the big leagues last year, I'm sure a different off season for you. Just what have you been up to? How's it been going?
It's been good. You know, last year was my first taste of the big league. So I, you know, that kind of gave me something to really strive for, and to be able to get a taste of that definitely gives me some motivation.
Has that like sunk in, Jake, because of all the weirdness of last year? Like, you had the unbelievable spring, you make the big leagues, you're a part of a team that got to the postseason. You know, you pitched a lot last year in some important games.
Yeah, I mean, it took a little while to set in, but you know, you kind of get home in the off season, and then you start looking ahead and you start mapping out your off season, and you just want to be able to put all the work in that you can and try and improve, you know, the most that you can to try and be able to contribute to the team next year. You know, what we did last year was great, especially with how we had to adapt and overcome just a, you know, packed schedule with doubleheaders and all the COVID infections and stuff. And, you know, what we did last year was awesome, but, you know, now it's kind of, you know, you get home and your sights kind of set on the next year. And, you know, so I just kind of made my plan with, you know, some of the people that helped me out here in town, and just, you know, got after it and started getting to work.
Maybe the question is better asked, how long ago does August 15th seem like? You started and your first big league appearance, you got the start in one of those games in Chicago against the White Sox, the first series that y'all were back off of the restart. Almost in a couple of days, it'll be exactly 6 months ago since that start and since you guys started playing ball again. Does it seem like 6 months?
Yeah, it's actually funny because it felt like so long ago. And I actually, my high school does a thing where whoever went through that program, once you make it to the big leagues, you get your number retired. So I actually got my number retired last night.
Nice.
Before their preseason game, which was pretty cool. But that was kind of a reminder for me of, you know, it felt like it was, you know, not that long ago. But then when I actually started thinking about it, I was like, oh yeah, wow, it's been like 5 or 6 months since that's happened. So it's definitely something that I'll never forget. And I'll always be thankful for, definitely.
Dude, you just say that like it's like a common thing. Like, oh yeah, when you get to the big, how many guys from your high school have gotten to the big leagues? And are there any guys around your age or that you played with, guys that are in the big leagues right now?
Yeah. So we actually,
I know Plant's an absurd athletic high school.
Yeah, we have a good chunk of guys, dating all the way back to Wade Boggs. And so we have quite a few dudes. I don't know the exact number, but as of now in the big leagues, Pete Alonso went to Plant.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Tucker with the Astros went to Plant. Michael Givens went to Plant, and then we have a couple dudes in the minor leagues too. So yeah, it's definitely a pretty good group that we have together. Tanner Anderson, he's with the A's right now. He was in the big leagues with the Pirates. I mean, it's definitely a culture that's been built of you know, just trying to become the best player that you can and try and succeed, because you see that it's attainable by, you know, all the people that are around you and that still come back to Plant.
Is that where Aaron Murray went too?
Yeah. Actually a really good football program there.
What number did you wear in high school? Were you 40 then?
No, I wore 33 in high school.
Big Scottie Pippen guy?
Not really. It was actually my dad's number when he played basketball. And so I just always kind of wanted to be like my dad. So I always just took his number whenever I could.
You played hoops in high school too, right?
Yeah, I played 2 years and then schedule just kind of got crazy and realized I kind of had to pick, and I was a lot better at baseball than I was basketball, and I definitely loved it more. So it wasn't too hard of a decision for me.
So how does that happen to, you know, kind of realize, and when does it happen to realize, like, not only do I have a shot to play baseball for a living, but I have a shot to potentially, you know, these scouts are here. I could be drafted and have a decision to make as it pertains to college or going, you know, and signing with the team that drafted me. Like, when does that start? And is it overwhelming? Because, you know, it's different in baseball than in other sports. Cool. I can't even imagine how I would begin to wrap my head around something like that. That's why I chose not to sign, Jake.
I didn't really think about it until I was a senior and scouts were coming around so much. And I mentioned Kyle Tucker earlier. We were actually in the same class at Plant. So there was always scouts around, and I didn't really realize it until about halfway through my senior year. I was having a pretty solid year, and my coach kind of sat me down. He's like, "Hey, you need to keep your head down and keep working, because you could have a shot to really your draft stock here if you keep it up." And that's when it really sunk in for me. I was fortunate enough to put together a solid senior season and get taken by the Cardinals.
Because you were going to go to Florida, right?
Yep. Yeah, I was committed to UF. Always been a Gator fan. It's just where a lot of my family members had went. So, and then next thing I know, I was in the GCL. It happened quick.
You said you had a pretty solid year. What did you give up, like 2 runs your senior year or something?
I don't remember what it was, but I think I had like 0.4 or 0.6. I don't actually know that off the top of my head, but I know it because my coach said it so last night. So don't think I'm just memorizing my high school stats over here.
How good was your team with you and Tucker on it?
He
was going to go to Florida too, right? You guys were going to go together?
Yeah, he was also committed to Florida.
Would have played at least 1 year with Bader, right?
Yeah, no, I think we would have had. Wait, no, because Bader was drafted, I think, when we were drafted, wasn't he?
You're right.
Yeah, I think he was drafted. I think he was drafted our year, so I don't think we actually would have played.
2015, yeah.
But that was definitely a cool connection, too, because when I remember, I think I had met him on my official visit. So then when I saw him for the first time in spring training, I was just kind of a familiar face around and stuff. So that was cool.
Yeah. How good was your high school team with you and Tucker on it?
We were solid. We actually didn't go very far in the playoffs my senior year. We kind of got upset in districts, and I definitely thought we could have made a run, but things just didn't work out.
It's been a busy like week and a half for the Cardinals. The Wainwright contract, as Waino comes back, Yachty comes back, Nolan Arenado is acquired. What happens, and don't bullshit me, what happens when there are trade rumors swirling? This team has made a bunch of trades the last couple of years, some big-time trades. You've been at the top of the organization in terms of prospects. You're in the big leagues now. What happens when this is going down, man? Do you check social media? Do you hear from people? Do you hear from your agents? There are so many idiots, too, on Twitter who will, like, impersonate reporters and put stuff out, or you know, you don't know if a trade is legit or if it's not. Like, what happens? And give me an idea of what was happening when this Arenado deal was going down. And then there were like 5 or 6 days, Jake, when no one knew what was going to go back to Colorado. It's got to be kind of weird.
Yeah, it was definitely different, because normally trades are announced and, you know, they're finalized 30 minutes later. You know, it's a pretty quick process. I definitely had heard my name. You know, you hear the rumors and stuff here and there, but I try not to put too much weight into them, until I hear something concrete from, you know, the organization. But it was definitely different, you know, kind of in the back of your head thinking like, you know, I could get a call at any moment. But
I'm not even saying that, like, I don't even know if I saw your name anywhere. I just feel like you, like, you almost saw everyone's name, you know, or there was just speculation about everyone. Because you guys, your system's so deep now, too.
Yeah, there were a lot of names being thrown out there, and just that because of how complicated the trade was with the exchange of money and him deferring some stuff. And I think just because it took so long to get approved that, I think people just kind of wanted to know. And so I think people were kind of giving it their best guess. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy I'm still with the club, and I'm ready for a good year.
How exciting is that to acquire Arenado and then also to have Wainwright and Yachty back? You guys, I think, instantly are one of the favorites in the National League.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can get those two veterans to come back, what they bring on the field and off the field, just with their leadership, is kind of unremarkable. Just how much they bring to the team. And how talented they still are, they're still great players, but they're also so good to have around in the clubhouse and stuff. And, Waino and Yachty have helped me a ton over my career, and I'm extremely thankful to have them as teammates. And then you throw in Arenado, who, I mean, the resume kind of speaks for himself, all the gold gloves, just a force at the plate. And anytime you can add a guy of that caliber to your club, it definitely gets you excited.
All right. If you could switch places with any other athlete and play like a month as them, who would you switch places with? Non-baseball.
Non-baseball? Probably golf.
Who would you want to be? Which golfer?
I mean, I guess you got to say Tiger, but honestly, not even like a specific golfer, but just winning one of those, like going and winning the Masters. That would be just like one of the most unbelievable experiences ever. I think something like that would be pretty cool.
How about if you switched places with any celebrity and you would just experience their life for like a month or something? Who would you want to be? Whether it's an actor, musician, sports radio host. I'm just spitballing here. Who would you want to be? Like Cardinals pregame. I'm just, again, just like spitballing off the top of my head.
Any celebrity. God, that's a tough one. Dude, I don't really know. I don't really have a great answer for that one.
I always think like Justin Timberlake would be tight because he's like, everyone loves him. He's a great musician. He's a great actor. He's like a scratch golfer.
I would say Elon Musk.
Oh, I like that.
Because, I'm curious to see what his day-to-day is like. I mean, he's one of the most influential people in the world right now.
Absolutely. You'd have some cash, too.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be terrible either, but more just the connections, I mean.
Oh, the people that he's got probably on speed dial. The people that he probably texts with or has a direct line to is got to be incredible.
Yeah, it's got to just be unbelievable. So, yeah, I'd maybe say somebody more like that just to see what life would be like, being that kind of person. That'd be crazy.
Building freaking spaceships and tunnels underground and stuff.
Yeah, like you're going down your agenda and you wake up in the morning, you're your daily planner, and it's like 10 a.m., launch a rocket. I just
10 a.m. launch a rocket, noon one-on-one or pick up basketball one-on-one against Obama.
Yeah.
That's unreal. Okay, so speaking of Elon Musk's Rolodex, if you couldn't text anymore or couldn't talk on the phone anymore, which would you give up?
Probably phone calls. Texting's way easier.
Oh yeah,
I still call people, I think, more than most, just because I get impatient. But texting is definitely way more convenient.
Yeah, like I feel bad sometimes because like one of your boys or someone that you haven't talked to in a while will call you, and you're like, if you're in the middle of something, you're like, this might be like a whole catch up thing, texting is just like text, email, just kind of like to the point. Like I'm even bad with my voicemail, man. Like I don't know how. I won't see it or it'll fill up or stuff, but I feel like just more efficient sometimes.
Yeah, as long as people are responding.
Yeah, I mean, like, you wanted to...
People stop responding, that's when I just start calling everybody.
So how long do you give them? And or do you have the buddy that will respond to a text, like, 4 days later with, like, a ha-ha?
Yeah. Maybe not 4 days, but I definitely have some friends off the top of my head that they're notorious for replying like 6 hours later.
So what's the grace period? What's the grace period till you start calling them?
It just depends on what it is. You know, if I just have to like pick up something or you know, I'm meeting somebody somewhere, then like 5 minutes and you're getting a call. But if it's not something super urgent, then then I'll just text you and it's not a big deal.
What is the last album or artist that you've had on repeat, either in the car or at the gym? What's the latest artist that you're listening to nonstop?
Probably.
Aside from my podcast, just spitballing here again.
Yeah, the podcast is on repeat 24/7. But other than that, that's
tight.
Probably Mac Miller. I'm a big Mac Miller fan.
Have you watched his... you familiar with the NPR, the Tiny Desk concerts?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a good one.
Amazing performance, yeah.
Unreal. Absolutely unreal. God, man, that's another freaking thing. Like, the way the world has gone recently to think about, like, and not to be morbid, but, like, Mac Miller and Kobe and some of the you know, celebrities and people that we've lost. But, like, how long it's been since they've been gone, you know? Like, it's brutal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... Lost some icons this year. It's pretty sad.
Who else? Are you mostly hip hop or?
No, I like country too. I listen to like Whiskey Myers a lot.
Nice.
And I'm kind of all over the place with my music. I listen to like Mac Miller one day, Whiskey Myers another day. I listen to like Jimi Hendrix one day, Bruce Springsteen. I just kind of bounce around, just whatever I'm feeling.
So do you have this?
I like reggae too.
Oh, nice. You have the same routine of stuff you're listening to before you're going to be like on a day that you're pitching before you're going to start or
mix it up like over the course of a season. I go to for sure.
You started at the beginning of the season or is it constantly evolving?
It kind of varies year to year. But normally for the year, it's pretty consistent.
All right. Will you text me whatever playlist you had, last year and we'll put it up with this.
Yeah, I can try and find it. I don't know if I kind of shuffle my playlist around a lot. I'm gonna have to check and see if I haven't added a bunch of stuff to it.
And if you don't, then yeah, you could just send what's on it now. All right. And last thing, I would like to have a quick draft with you. And I've done some of these with guests where we've gone back and forth. We've drafted fast food restaurants. I actually did that with the cat, with Jim. Fast food side items. Drafted, Flaherty and I have done some 90s and some NBA drafts. I've done like 90s rock music. Are you a big movie guy?
Yeah, I'd say I'm a movie guy. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have a draft right now. We're each going to pick four, just go back and forth. Boom, 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 boom. And a draft of four actors or actresses, and you can only watch movies with your four people in them moving forward. That's the scenario. All right.
Okay.
Get what I'm saying? So you've got the first pick.
I mean, Will Ferrell's got to be up there.
That's a good one. All right. Will Ferrell, number one. All right. I will go. See, I'm trying to wonder, do you go comedy or do you go? I'm going to go Will Smith. I think that gives me some variety.
Yeah.
He's versatile and he's got a lot of credits. So I'll go Will Smith.
Okay. I like it.
You went Will Ferrell and now you've got your second pick now.
Probably Matt Damon. That's got to be up there for me. One. I mean, Goodwill Hunting is my favorite movie of all time. So.
The best.
I think I kind of have to include that.
I was just thinking about that.
The Bournes are awesome too. All of them. He's
one of the most rewatchable movies as well.
What, Goodwill Hunting?
Goodwill Hunting, absolutely. And I can jump in at any point, like if it's on, like
it just
cable
locks
or whatever.
You in.
Speaking of Elon Musk, have you watched The Martian?
Yeah.
That's a tight one too. He's just, everything he does is so freaking good.
Yeah.
I think this gives me a decent variety as well. Brad Pitt.
Solid.
He's been in some good ones.
Yeah. Because he's got a variety too. He's in like Inglourious Basterds, which is you know, like more like a, you know, like a big drama, but then he goes all the way back to like Fight Club
and then like Interview with the Vampire.
And Mrs. Smith was like a, I feel like that is still played to this day. It's like 15 years old, 20 years old.
All right, Brad Pitt is my second. So you've got Farrell and Damon, and your number three pick now. Man, I'm trying to think. I know.
I'll probably go Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right.
Dude's hilarious. Dude's unbelievable.
And he even goes back a while too. What was the classic movie where he was in high school?
Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused. All right, all right, one of his first big movies, and like he's still making hits to this day. And he's just so versatile too. Like Dallas Buyers Club, like he really morphs to whatever role.
Do that again. Do that again. That was a pretty good. That was a pretty good McConaughey.
No, get out of here.
Come on, man. Give it to me.
All right, all right, all right.
Nice, I like it. Oh. I heard him on a podcast on Pardon My Take recently, and he had the greatest line ever. He was like, I don't mind nerds, but I can't stand dorks. He's like, which is so perfect. He's like, I've got a lot of friends that are nerds, and they're cool, man, but I just hate dorks because they're always getting in your business. I'm like, that is the greatest Matthew McConaughey line of all time.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah. See, that was, I was conflicted on my fourth, but I think I can't do the same ones as you.
Let's each go actress for the last one.
This is a tough one. I feel like Jennifer Lawrence is in a bunch of good movies. She's got a pretty good career. No, I changed mine. Mila Kunis.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because you could even group together Family Guy in that too, because she is Meg.
Family Guy, that 70s show. And then right?
some of her movies are hysterical.
What's the movie with the guy from How I Met Your Mother and
the Hawaii one?
Yeah. What's the name of that? Yeah, it's so
Forgetting
funny.
Sarah Marshall.
Yes. That movie is awesome.
Hysterical. Yeah, great movie. Yeah, I'm going Mila Kunis.
That's a really good one. Okay, then I will go. All right, I'm not sure how many of these. Well, she's been in a bunch of movies. I feel like I'm also buying stock in her career moving forward. I'm going to go Tina Fey.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. She's been in a ton of stuff.
All right, that was good. Now people can tweet us and tell us how dumb we are because we left off Benicio del Toro or someone. That was good, Woodford. Farrell, Damon, McConaughey, Mila Kunis. I've got Smith, Brad Pitt, Leo, and Tina Fey. We both got those are some versatile rotations that we've put together. You got a little bit of everything. You got the fireballer. You got the lefty with the Uncle Charlie thing going on. You've got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I mean, if that's all the stuff you can watch for the rest of your life, you gotta have some people with some versatility for sure.
Yeah, you better get watching. We got a lot to watch. Well, dude, great catching up, man. And it must be a fun time to be a sports fan in Tampa during the off season. When are you headed over across the state to Jupiter? It seems like stuff's constantly changing, but you headed over soon?
Yeah, next few days for sure. I'm just excited to get down there and start competing and just looking forward to this year. I mean, I think we all are just ready to go.
Yeah, hopefully no week-long stays inside the haunted hotel in Milwaukee this year, though.
Yeah, I still tell people that story. They're like, didn't you have to stay in the hotel for like 9 days? I was like, yep, haunted hotel.
Do you believe that place is haunted?
Yeah, it was pretty creepy.
Yachty doesn't stay there anymore, right?
That's
what someone says. He might refuse to stay there. It's that place and then OKC. Did you in OKC when I'd go there with the Grizzlies a couple times? The hotel that we stayed at in Bricktown was supposedly haunted as well. I forget the name of it. I don't know if you guys would have been the Skirvin.
No, I don't think we stayed there.
Jake Woodford, you're the best. Thanks for hanging out. for so long, and we'll see you soon, man. Have a safe trip over to Jupiter.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.